BSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor. Violence from firearms is constant in the United States. Routinely now we hear mass shootings, and the crisis is upon us. What is to be done? I welcome Conrad Black, the distinguished biographer who writes for the National Post about a new approach, not registering guns, not forbidding people from buying weapons, but traceable ammunition. Conrad, a very good evening to you. I had not read of this. I didn't know it existed beforehand. How does it work? Good evening to you.
Yeah, good evening to you, John. Well, a normal bullet, there's a method for lasering onto it an identification mark. And, you know, these things can be, you know, they're very small, but they can be detected and analyzed. And so you can put an infinite number of them on bullets. And the idea would be that you would require that, you know, you'd license the sale of ammunition, and each box of ammunition, you'd have to preserve whatever the identification was on it. And you'd have to connect it to the person who bought it. I'm not suggesting there would be a reduction in the total sale of ammunition. It would just be that all firearms ammunition, you know, we're not talking about artillery shells here or anything, but all firearms ammunition would be traceable, because, you know, if when it was used, when the bullet was recovered, you could see the marking on it and trace it back to who bought the ammunition. And it's not a panacea. It wouldn't cure everything, but it would sharply reduce the incidence of crime by making the conviction of criminal use of a firearm much more likely. And it just seems to me that we've got to stop this futile exchange between those who advocate a level of gun control that the country won't tolerate and is in any case unconstitutional. It was all very fine for Beto O'Rourke to claim that he was going to march into people's homes if he was elected and confiscate their firearms, but it's unconstitutional, as it should be. I mean, normal, responsible citizens are entitled to have guns. So that's not the answer.
The approach of traceable ammunition is so fresh, I need to restate where it is, where our two countries are about owning weapons. You've mentioned the Second Amendment, the Constitution guaranteeing the right to bear arms. How is it in Canada?
There is no such constitutional right in this country. Canada was founded when the British, at the request of the Americans, when they were still part of the British Empire, it succeeded in militarily chasing the French out of Canada, and then the British occupied it. Eventually, the British granted to the settlements in Canada, almost all of them quite close to the U.S. border, the status of an independent country within what became the British Commonwealth. That was in 1867. So there was no violent or revolutionary tradition to work off. The tradition was one of colonists then seeking their independence, which was given to them, probably because the British had in front of them the example of what happened when they didn't, you know, grant requests from the United States for, as it became, for more autonomy. So we don't have a revolutionary tradition here, and we've never had a general recourse to conflict within the territory of this country. And so the law is that responsible people can have firearms. They can be privately owned, and there's just particular recognition of authentic hunters who go out and use a hunting license and hunt in season, and authentic collectors of guns, and people who legitimately need guns to protect herds of, you know, cattle or sheep or something, you know, against predators like wolves. But apart from that, the average citizen can get a gun, but the testing for that is quite rigorous. He can't just march into a store to get one. It's a complicated process, and the guns aren't just sold over the counter the way they are in most American states.
You read the controversies here all the time. The political actors use the term gun violence when they're talking about a particularly unhappy moment, as if it's not attached to a human being. And then others debate about when you can and can't buy a gun and where you can and can't show a gun. Do you have similar controversy in Canada?
Not really. And we've had some of these terrible incidents, as you have not. I mean, they're quite rare. But we had one, I remember some years ago, a good many years ago now, where somebody broke into a classroom in Montreal at one of the universities there, I think, and killed six or eight people. And you get a few things like that. Rarely. What you do get, though, are, as in any country, you get outright murderers who go around and over a period of time do murder a number of people with guns. I mean, sometimes they've run up to, I think there was somebody who had murdered 17 people with firearms over a period of several years. And so it's not the same. It's not exactly the same. But look, this isn't a land of saints either. I mean, we have, you know, lunatics of all kinds, including violent lunatics or just criminally diseased minds who do terrible things with guns. But because the access to guns is reduced, the crime rates are substantially reduced. I mean, Toronto is a metropolitan area. The so-called Greater Toronto Area is 9 million people. It's almost the same size as Chicago. But the number of, the incidence of firearm violence is about 10% of Chicago's.
My perception of Canada, having only visited your beautiful country a few times in my life, is that it's a place where people enjoy activities outdoors, hunting and fishing, and also enjoy the breadth of your country. And weapons are associated in this country with wide open spaces. Is it the same? Are we different people, you know, across the border? Is there a difference?
In that respect, I would say not very, John. I mean, you're right, because it is such a large country, the climate is colder than your southern states, although the more populated areas here, such as Toronto, the city I'm in right now, it does not have as severe a winter as Chicago or Minneapolis or some of those other cities. But in general, here as there, people do engage in activities that involve guns in the country. But I think again, as in the United States, you need a license to hunt, and you're only supposed to hunt within certain periods of the calendar. I mean, you've got considerations of public safety, but also a desire not to reduce overly the number of animals. So whether it's moose or caribou or whatever it is, you know. So I think there's quite a similarity of view there. And all these people who own herds of anything have to protect them. And, they're in fenced properties, but an ingenious wolf can get through most fences. And so those people do need guns to protect their livelihood.
It is a company in Toronto that we're talking about, the Bullet ID Corporation of Toronto. Are these available now? Is it available now, or is this a proposal, Conrad?
No, it's available now. They're making them, and they're marketing them. A person who read the article you kindly mentioned that I wrote last week sent me an email, and they've just sold their product to a police department of a smallish city, but it's starting, it's taking hold.
Conrad Black, a distinguished biographer, writing about a new idea to control in some fashion weapons in the hands of bad actors. The Bullet ID Corporation of Toronto, traceable ammunition. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
I'll be here to hear what's on your mind.
Kids want to share what's going on in their lives with the adults around them. Parents, grandparents, teachers, coaches, and more. They want to know you're listening, and they want to listen to you. They want your input and guidance, early and often, on all kinds of topics. When it comes to a serious subject like underage drinking, they want to know your expectations, as well as how and why, as a young person, they should avoid alcohol. How you talk about it will change as your child grows, but the important thing is to talk about it. Not just once for an hour when you think the time is right, but in 60 one-minute conversations and more that are part of your everyday talks. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov. When you need me, I'll be by your side.